The Wisconsin Veterans Museum has long prided itself on making resources available to vets from all across Wisconsin, but that, you know, sometimes people aren't aware of those resources, and a new traveling exhibit hopes to raise awareness about them and educate you and me about the rich history of Wisconsin's soldiers in wartime and peace. Christine Zicker, our guest, is the assistant director of the Wisconsin Veterans Museum, and she's here to talk about it with us. I've been to the Veterans Museum a number of times, and I enjoy every single visit. Have you been there? I'd love to hear what your comments about the Veterans Museum itself, or about our veterans. You know, tomorrow's kind of a big day. As Colonel Kingseed said, well, you know, every day should kind of be Veterans Day in some ways. But we've got this one day tomorrow, and that's why we kind of wanted to have people on today to highlight and get you thinking about that and get you sort of ready to honor our veterans, and kind of doing that today on this program. Christine, welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, man, I tell you what, it's great to have you with us today. And again, as you listen in and have questions for us, the number to call 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. And here we are. The timing on this is kind of interesting, given the Medal of Honor ceremony Thursday in the White House for a Civil War hero from Wisconsin.
That's right. It was pretty amazing. And I know Margaret Zerwick worked very hard to make that happen, so I'm sure that was an extremely special day for her. Alonzo Cushing, as you know, is a Civil War soldier, and this was a long ordeal to prove that he was deserving, and he certainly was. And now the Medal of Honor is finally in Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And hopefully someday maybe the Veterans Museum have a look at it, huh?
We would love to have that opportunity, but we understand that it's important to their community, and so that's where it will be for the moment. We're very fortunate at the museum. We have 5 Medals of Honor in the collection, yeah. And we didn't up until about 10 years ago, and we've received 5 in the last decade. So we're extremely honored to be the repository for those medals.
Absolutely. Well, you have first, let's describe the museum itself and then talk about the traveling exhibit, because the museum is fantastic, I think.
Thank you. Yeah, we're part of the Department of Veterans Affairs, so we are a state-owned museum. We're here in Madison on the Capitol Square. We have free admission, so if you're just curious, we'd encourage you just to stop in. But being in Madison, one of the challenges is really getting people in the door, people who might not visit Madison, who are in other parts of the state. And so that's part of why we started this traveling exhibit program, is to really serve the people beyond Madison as well as within Dane County.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, tell us how it works.
Sure. So we have this traveling exhibit program. We have 2 different types of exhibits in the program. 1 tier of exhibits are free. There's no cost other than transport. And they're very easy to assemble, to put up. They're really designed for a wide variety of venues. So that can mean museums, but it can also mean state or municipal office buildings. It could be sports arenas. It can be hosted at small libraries. It's really flexible, and that's part of the idea of this program, is to make it easy for venues to apply and to kind of break down the barriers that come along with museums sometimes. Our other tier of exhibits is really designed more for museums, and that's a little bit of a stricter process in terms of application.
So I could apply, assuming I had an appropriate place to put it.
Sure, we could put it here at the studio if you wanted to. And that really is the idea. Obviously, we want it publicly accessible,
right.
So it probably wouldn't go to a private individual. But with beyond that, we're completely flexible.
And how do they look? I mean, what are they, you know, are they hard to set up or?
No, they're very easy, and they're designed as pop-up banner exhibits. So they're the type of banners you might see at a trade show. So they're very easy. You just pop them up, and the images come from the museum collection. So they're really interesting and compelling, most of them with a Wisconsin connection, but they're colorful and they're poppy and they're just really easy to access.
Talking today about the Wisconsin Veterans Museum and about the traveling exhibits with our guest today, Christine Zecker, who is assistant director of the Wisconsin Veterans Museum. Certainly interested in what you have to say. Questions or comments, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. We'd love to hear from you. So give us a call or go down on the Facebook page or shoot us an email. We'd love to hear from you. You have how many? Four different titles, aren't there? Are there?
That's correct. There are four different exhibits, two per tier. I call them tiers. They're just types of exhibits. So four right now, and we expect to have more as we go forward. We're waiting to see how they're received and what the demand is for them, and we can certainly produce more if needed. I'd like to say also that this project is funded in part by the Wisconsin Humanities Council, so we're really fortunate to have their support and to work with them, not only to reach new audiences, but, you know, from the funding perspective is important.
Well, it's really nice to have that kind of partnership.
Yeah, it's been great.
And not only just from a financial point of view, but also from their publicity or publicizing from their side of things, too.
That's right. Yep. They have audiences we don't have and vice versa, and it's really been a positive thing. And that's what we hope to do with these venues as well, is to reach their audiences and to help them reach ours. And, you know, it's more than just dropping off a free exhibit. It's about forming a partnership and a collaboration.
Yeah. Well, we can take some more calls here. Again, the number for you to call, 1-800-642-1234. Let's turn to Dean in Manitowoc next. Dean, hi. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call.
Hi. Thanks for the program. And Christine, thank you for the work you do. I wanted to call and tell you how exciting it's been for me. I have a family of friends here in Manitowoc that donated this last year. She was a nurse that treated at Pearl Harbor, was there. The Weller family from Manitowoc.
Yes, and I'm familiar with that. Is it Rhoda Ziesler?
That was my friend's mom. And how honored that family has been. You people had them in Madison and treated them like they were royalty. And I just want you to know how honored. Well, first off, I've been for being friends with them and the history that they continuously share, and also for your museum and your accepting and how you treated them and their family when you gave them that wonderful tour. So I just wanted to say thank you. Keep up the good work and continue being as kind to families as you are.
A comment, Christine? That's a wonderful comment from Dean.
But. Yeah, thank you very much, Dean. I remember this donation well. Rhoda Ziesler, as you mentioned, was at Pearl Harbor, and this is a phenomenal collection. We have everything, including original records of her on a radio broadcast from Hawaii. So it was really a neat collection, and I remember a lot of excitement about that. And thank you also for your kind words about the family. That's really everything we do is, you know, honor veterans and work with families. So it's really good to hear they had a positive experience.
Oh, absolutely. And you obviously rely on gifts from families, typically.
Yeah, the vast majority of the collection was donated either by veterans themselves or by family members.
So, wonderful. Judith mentioned last week she did an interview in front of a live audience at the Veterans Museum. Her guest was Ray Kagetosh. And there's a video of it up online, and we'll post that video up on our Facebook page. But You can also find it by searching Wisconsin Veterans Museum and Vimeo, which is the online video site. So, and a lot of that a lot of that goes on. That sort of thing goes on at the Veterans Museum.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a great lineup of programs. You know, not only speakers coming in and authors, but panel discussions, all kinds of interesting things going on. As you can imagine, tomorrow is a very busy day for us as well.
I can believe that. That's why it was great to have you on today. And a good friend of mine, Mike Ely, was a member of the board of directors was a member of the board of directors at the Vets Museum, and he's always had so many fun things to say about it as a vet himself, as a veteran himself. Well, you can join in too with a question or comment as we talk about the Veterans Museum and the traveling exhibit. I haven't gotten into the various specifics of each of the exhibits, but we will get into that as we go along. What's the early response been so far to this? Are you getting some feedback and some use and interest?
Yeah, it's actually been really good. We haven't really even gone live. We just did a press release, I think it was last week, but we already had two venues booked before we even announced the program. So far it's been great. And we have a new traveling exhibit coordinator starting at the museum next week who will do nothing but handle this program, because we think there'll be a lot of response.
Yeah.
So far, so good. You know, it's.
And when you say, let's say I qualify and get the exhibit, now am I going to have it for like 2 days or a week or what?
It's pretty flexible. It's really up to the venue. A lot of them, the first two have been booked for about a month.
Yeah, that's probably, that makes sense.
Yeah, so we're flexible. You know, it is kind of a lot of work to have it for one day, but if that was the right fit, then that would be okay.
Then you do it. And then let's say, well, of course, the exhibits may be in Madison right now at this month, but let's say I'm sitting up in Spooner or Superior, and I'd like to have one of those exhibits. How does it get from point A to point B?
It's pretty easy. If you go to our website at wisvetsmuseum.com, there's a tab called Exhibits. And if you just click on that and then go to Traveling, all the information is right there. The other option is just to call directly. You can call 608-261-0542 or email travelingexhibits@dva.wisconsin.gov.
And excuse me, and we'll talk some more about that. We'll take a quick look at the news, the weather, and we'll find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network. And then we will be back with our guest, Christine Zicker, to talk some more about that traveling exhibit. Stay with us. Great to have you listening in on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. We're taking some time to talk with you about the Wisconsin Veterans Museum, not only the museum, the permanent museum that exists in Madison, but the Veterans Museum folks there decided to try and put together some traveling exhibits and give people from around the state who may not have a chance to get to Madison the opportunity to see some of the things that are so wonderful about the Veterans Museum that we have in Madison. So with us today, Christine Zicker, who is Assistant Director of the Wisconsin Veterans Museum. She's our guest today to talk about the museum itself, to talk about those traveling exhibits, tell you how you might get involved in those exhibits, and you know, maybe talk a little bit about where they are now and how you can see them. So questions or comments or maybe some experiences to share relating to the museum, I'd certainly love to hear from you at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post on our Facebook page. Go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page and you can post your comments right there. We'd certainly love to hear from you. Christine, I'd like to spend a little more time on the museum itself because it's got such a great history. Talk with us about the history of the museum.
Sure. It's a very old museum. We were established in 1901 in the state capitol, And we were actually started by Civil War veterans. So that's really our, you know, our foundation. It's still a great part of our collection today. So we've been in existence over 100 years and moved out of the state capitol in the 1990s to our current location, which is right across the street on Mifflin Street. And we started out collecting with a focus on Civil War, but today we collect all the way to current conflicts, which can include, obviously, Iraq, Afghanistan. But all of our collecting is focused on Wisconsin veterans. So we don't collect nationally. We have a pretty specific scope. And this has allowed us to really put together, I would say, one of the best state military collections in the country, and one of the best museums. I might be a little biased, but...
Well, it's a fantastic museum. It really, the amount of material and the things that you can see there, you can spend a lot of time there.
Yeah, it's a great resource. A lot of people come in and they say, I had no idea, because the outside of the building is a little bit deceiving. You'd be surprised, when you walk in. And we love to hear that, but yet we need to do a better job of conveying that to people so they know what's behind those walls. And the museum has expanded, obviously, a lot in the last few decades, and we have a few programs that we're particularly proud of. One is our oral history program. We recently, last year, hired a permanent full-time oral historian. I believe we're the only museum in the state to have that position. And so we have about 1,900 interviews with Wisconsin veterans. I think our oldest is actually Spanish-American War, if you can believe that.
Wow! You're kidding!
Yeah. So it's incredible. And to hear the real voices of veterans, you know, we're losing our World War II veterans very quickly, and it's really something to have their story in their own words.
It's wonderful. And how do we access those? I mean, you go to the museum, well...
That's a really good question, and we actually just received a grant from the IMLS, which is the Institute of Museum and Library Services, I believe the S is for, to digitize those interviews. And so we're just about to start that project. We're going to have them all available, either online or by request. And so we're going to make those a lot more publicly accessible. It's one thing to have interviews. It's another to be able to share them with people.
Oh, and I bet the family members...
Yeah.
Love this opportunity.
It's incredible. If you can imagine hearing your grandfather's voice talk about, you know, his time in World War II, or your father's voice, and then think about your grandchildren hearing your grandfather's voice. It's really incredible.
It's absolutely incredible. We have Jeffrey in Oshkosh up next. Jeffrey, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, my question is, the Iron Brigade, I believe it was the second day of the Gettysburg Battle, captured the Mississippi flag, and it's about 10 or 15 years ago, Mississippi asked for it back, and they said they would give us a replica of it, and I was down to the museum 2 or 3 years ago, and I asked about it, and they said they never received a replica of it. So I was just wondering what you had to say about it.
I'm not familiar with the replica issue. I do know the flag, and I know the story of its return. I've been with the museum about 13 years, so probably right before. I started right after the flag was returned is my guess. And I'm not aware that they were supposed to provide a replica. But I will definitely go back and look at the paperwork. The story of the Confederate flags is a really interesting one as well. As you can imagine, a lot of the Wisconsin guys came back with Confederate flags, and this became a real sore point for the United States. A lot of them went back during World War II, when I think we came together as a nation. We stopped seeing each other as the enemy. And this flag went back fairly recently, so we virtually returned them all. We do still have one, which I'll not comment on at this point.
We're not saying.
Yeah.
So there you have it, Jeffrey. But you're going to look into it.
I will look into it. I wasn't aware they were supposed to provide a replica. We do have all the paperwork on these things, so I can take a look at the file and be sure. So.
I bet they'd have replicas of those anyway.
You can have a replica made. It, you know, does have a cost, of course, and so.
Yeah, well, there you have it. Thanks a lot, Jeff, for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions and comments. Your exhibits a year ago, the last time I was there, so it's been a little bit of time for me, but you have some very large pieces as well as, you know, we're talking about recordings, you know, a small tape recorder type recording, but there are some really big actual pieces there.
That's true. We have a Huey, which was flown in Vietnam, suspended from the ceiling. We have two replica planes. One is a Sopwith Camel. And so I think that's what's surprising to people when they come in. They don't expect like a two-story exhibit that's so impressive. And it's kind of this balance between the personal, these interviews and these accounts, and then the large scale, which is impressive in a different way.
And, you know, I had our last caller mentioned the Iron Brigade, and I purchased a book at the museum, too, on the Iron Brigade. Actually, I purchased a couple of books while I was there. The gift shop is kind of nice. There are some good books in there.
Yeah, we have some great books that are hard to find, and we also have some interesting products. Like we're now selling a line of very high-end pea coats and leather coats that are military-inspired. So if you're thinking about gifts for the holidays, those are great items as well. So the gift store has some surprises, so I'd encourage you to come in and check it out.
We had a Facebook comment from Daniel. My father was in the Pacific Theater during World War II. I have a small collection of typical gear the soldiers would have carried into battle and onto the beaches of that war. I'm a big, fairly strong man, and it never ceases to amaze me how they were able to carry all that stuff. The ammunition belt alone is 20-plus pounds. You had the canteens, the bayonets, the grenades. Their backpacks were typically 50 to 60 pounds, then sling a 10-pound Garand rifle over your shoulder. No wonder they were all so thin in the photos. The sacrifices these men and women made would be unfathomable in this day and age.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point. The gear is, we think it's important as we keep developing the museum to give students a chance to feel things like that, to feel the weight of the gear, to really get a sense of what that was like. It's just hard to imagine for us.
Yeah, it is. Although I still kind of hope deep down that if push came to shove, we have people here who would find that same level of courage and ability.
I think we do have people like that. It's just not such a widespread
it's hard to imagine,
social
right?
effort, right? Yeah.
Absolutely. Ante in New Berlin, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hello.
What's on your mind?
I was a student at UW-Mass, and one weekend, I mean, I'd always walk past the museum, and one weekend me and my girlfriend were there walking around the Capitol. And we decided to go in it, and it was probably the most memorable 2 hours I'd spent there by the Capitol. And I really, we thoroughly enjoyed the museum and the exhibits, and it was a wonderful experience. And it was one of the few things you can do in Madison without paying a lot of money. So I just wanted to say thank you.
Oh, well, that's thank you, Ante. And comment, Kristen?
Yeah, that's very nice. Thank you. I appreciate that. And I'm glad you finally stopped in, because that's what we hope people will do. As you mentioned, it's something you can do that's free. We don't charge admission. We're a state-owned museum. That's important to us. And I'm glad that you had a good experience.
I appreciate that very much. There, I have a bunch of advisees of students of my own here, because I'm a professor and teach here, too. And I'm always... I had forgotten to mention that. I talked with him about a place to go for a cheap date, and that would be a fun and something different and unique. And I talk about the Olbrich Botanical Gardens, but you know what?
the Veterans Museum would be a wonderful place to take a date.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can drop in for 20 minutes or you can spend 2 hours.
That's the beauty. Yeah. That's the beauty of it. Ante, thank you again. I'm going to bring that up with my class today, as a matter of fact. Stella in Sturgeon Bay, it's your turn. Stella, thanks a lot for calling.
Yeah, thank you. I just caught a little tag of, I have two questions. The first one is this museum, did this used to be the Civil War Museum in the Capitol? And the second question is, are you currently located in the old Wolf Kubley Hersig building?
Well, to your first question, yes, we used to be the Grand Army of the Republic Memorial Hall, which the Grand Army of the Republic was a Civil War veterans group, so I'm sure you're thinking of the same one. It was a little museum up on upper floor of the Capitol building.
With Abe, the eagle stuffed in.
Yes.
Okay.
The story of old Abe is tragic, yes, but that a lot of people remember us from school trips when they were younger. To your second question, I know it used to be Rennebaum's.
It was Rennebaum's, but I don't...
Oh, okay, so Rennebaum's is across Mifflin from
Wolf
Mifflin and whatever the... What is it? Is it Pinckney? That side of the square?
Carroll, I believe. Carroll
it is,
side.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it was not the Wolf Kubley building. It was the... I'm telling you, Stella, you got it. You're Sturgeon Bay. It's not that far away. You can get here in a couple hours. You can be here by auto in maybe 2.5 hours or so.
Or you could bring the traveling exhibit to Sturgeon Bay.
So. There's another great example. Let's talk about that traveling exhibit. Listen up now, Stella, because you might be able to get one of these traveling exhibits from the Vets Museum. And let's talk about the specific title. What do we have here that people can get and put up and not difficult?
They're not difficult at all. And Stella, you might be interested in Fur, Feathers, and Fidelity, military mascots. This exhibit highlights the mascots that have been used by Wisconsin troops throughout history from Civil War on, even though they probably predate Civil War. And Old Abe is featured
certainly
in this exhibit. So Old Abe, as many people know, was a bald eagle who was carried by the 8th Wisconsin during the Civil War. And he was retired in honor, and he lived in the state capitol until the Capitol fire, and he sadly died of smoke inhalation.
Yeah.
But the story is really interesting, and it's not just Old Abe. There are there's Billy the Candy Eater, who's a rabbit, who was carried with the 32nd Division in World War II. There are monkeys, there are lions, there are many dogs.
Oh, you're kidding. We have lions, too?
Yeah, there was a lion, which is sort of strange, but interesting part of history anyway.
And so now, to see the exhibit, kind of set the stage for us. Now, these are large photos?
Yeah, these are very large photos that all come from our collection. So they're on these large banners that pop up very easily, so you could put them in a gallery, or you could put them in a hallway or a meeting room. They're really flexible, and you can scale them down to be almost as large as you need, or you can just use a few panels if that would fit your space better.
Wow. And this is not costing you, once you've qualified, you're not going to have to pay anything.
That's right. These are completely free, with the exception of the transport cost, but that can mean driving to Madison and putting them in your car. We're really flexible.
Mm-hmm. Or you can FedEx them or whatever, I suppose.
Sure, we can ship them as well. That's no problem.
Yeah, so that's one. The mascot sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it
lion.
Is.
Lion, oh my
yeah,
goodness.
Yeah, Leaky the Lion, yeah.
And a rabbit. The 32nd, our Red Arrow Division had a rabbit?
They had a rabbit, right. And they also had a dog. but there are some great stories. And, you know, the lightness aside, there's a real, you know, human aspect to these stories. You can imagine service members in the middle of combat, and they have this comfort of an animal. There's a really compelling image of this young Marine, and he's taking a brief nap. This is during the Battle of Okinawa, and he's sleeping on his helmet, and he has this little dog curled up next to him.
Oh.
And it's just so touching, and it makes you realize how much that dog probably meant to him.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, we have Oh, and by the way, we have a Facebook comment from Joyce and a photo, which I don't have up right now, but we can get it up. And if you go to my Facebook page or our Facebook page, the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page, you'll see this. Joyce said, "This is my dad, Robert Cushing, helping with Margaret back many years ago." Well, Margaret was probably telling him the facts about Alonzo Cushing. We are shirt tail relatives, but Margaret didn't care. She was thrilled to actually have a real blood relative of Alonzo Cushing helping out. My dad passed away shortly after learning that Alonzo was going to get the medal.
Mm, that's really incredible.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much for posting on our Facebook page, Joyce. We've got the mascots, but there are other ones as well. What else have we got here?
Another one of the new exhibits is called Working Warriors, Military Life Beyond Combat. And this is actually part of the Wisconsin Humanities Council Working Lives Project, mm-hmm. which you might have heard of.
Yeah.
It's really an interesting look at the role that work plays in our lives. And so this was a perfect fit for us. And we've been interested in the idea that most service members are not in combat. This is what the media tends to focus on, but the reality of military life is that you'll probably get nowhere near combat.
Yeah.
And so we thought it was important to share those stories too, that imagine the support that goes into, you know, going to war, even in peacetime. What are the jobs that these people are doing? What do they think about their experiences in the military? And so we pulled a number of really interesting images from the collection, people doing things you might not expect. There's a woman in World War II. She's at a hair salon, and that's just something you would never think about. But the grooming standards were so strict, and so this was really a service that was needed. You think about human resources and the amazing effort it takes to run the military. So these are things we don't want to overlook. It's not all about combat. It's about day-to-day life in the military.
Yeah, it can be really fascinating. And you've got another one?
Yeah, we have two other exhibits, and these are framed originals. One is a show by Santos Zingali. He was an artist who served in the Navy in World War II, and he did a series of charcoal sketches on board of his day-to-day life, and they're just beautiful. And he actually went on to become a professor at the university here.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other show is the Gaddis watercolors. Gaddis was a private with the 12th Wisconsin during the Civil War.
Yeah.
Did a series of watercolors right during the Civil War, and these are
beautiful originals.
They're incredible.
Yeah, they're incredible. And again, let's go over how do we apply to have one of these exhibits at our own place.
Sure. If you go to our website at wisvetsmuseum.com and go to the exhibits tab, there's information there about how to apply. And the process, especially for the banner shows, Working Warriors and Military Mascots, is very simple. It's very straightforward. It's a one-page application, and we would be happy to walk you through it. What we do ask is that each venue plans a public program to accompany the exhibit. The idea is that this is a collaborative effort engaging the community, not just an
individual or a family or
right.
something. Yeah,
yep.
Absolutely. That makes a lot of sense. I was going to ask you something else about the specifics. Any other specifics that we really?
I think that covers it. You know, we're happy to work with venues, so please don't hesitate to reach out and talk with us about it. We'll help determine the exhibit that's right for you, and we want to make it easy, so just give us a call, go to our website, and we can talk more about it.
And, where are they now? There's a couple out there. That's what I wanted.
Right.
I forgot to mention.
Yeah, the military mascot exhibit is at UW-Platteville right now, and it's going to be there from October 27th to November 21st, so you still have some time to see that. And then the Working Warriors is actually opening tomorrow on Veterans Day at UW-Whitewater.
Oh.
And there'll be a gallery opening from 12:30 to 1:30 tomorrow. So if you're in that area of the state, it would be great for you to come out. Or you can see it all the way through November 20th down there. And we have a number of other ones in the works, but we're not quite ready to announce those yet.
Christine, it's a great pleasure. I want to thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. These traveling exhibits sound wonderful, and get on board with these traveling exhibits or pay a visit to the Wisconsin Veterans Museum on the square in Madison, Wisconsin. Christine Zecker, Assistant Director of the Wisconsin Veterans Museum, our guest. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you for having me today.
And thank you for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store.